You know, where you just, it's a lavish expression of love and appreciation. And when we think of our Lord and our Savior, that should be a really something that, yes, we do every day, or we should do every day, but at this time of the year, more people's attention is focused on the message of the true message of Christmas, the Mass of Christ, the gathering together of those who love Him and worship Him. And I'm thankful that this year it seems like more and more people are just standing up and saying, what's wrong with celebrating His birthday? He does have a name. And I'm thankful, because that is a good witness to the world that the body of Christ is not a body that's just going to be bullied and banged and shoved around for their faith and their willingness to take a stand for Christ. So it's okay to say Merry Christmas in the store. It's okay to say Merry Christmas anywhere you go. I like to say, have a blessed Christmas. Merry is fine, but that little phrase, I like to have a really wonderfully blessed Christmas this year. And do you know, actually, if you sow that, it comes back. It's really cool. Well, that's very kind. And all of your testimonies are... it brings glory to what the Lord is doing in our lives. And sometimes it can be really big things, and sometimes the things that you almost aren't sure that you want to say anything about and just take them for granted. But surely our blessings and favor do come from the Lord. And with that, before we go any further, I'd like to bring our opening scripture this morning from the book of Colossians, Chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And these are wonderful verses of Scripture to remember as believers, because it's such an encouragement to us to hold our ground, not to compromise our faith, to stand in our faith, to grow, to be planted, if you will, to be established, to be rooted and grounded. And these are words of encouragement from God's Word. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And I'll read it from the NIV. Some of you may have King James, old or new. But it basically says the same. It says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one, here's the clincher here, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. And there's some really serious truths in these three little verses of Scripture. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. It's one thing to say that we believe in something or believe on something, but it's another thing that we've made a decision that we're going to receive, because believe in something and not receive it. And it is important that we receive what we say we believe. It'd be like, I could say, because I know something, I could say, well, I know that I've got X number of dollars in the bank, and I could go around and say, well, I believe that because I saw the bank statement. But until I actually write a check and receive that which I have, that which I say I believe, then it doesn't have the same effect as just saying you believe something. It's receiving means to take possession of. And it's important, just as you received Christ, take possession of that. Because the reason for that is you want to be in a position to receive all that comes to us through Christ. And sometimes, until we've learned and we've grown and we're maturing in our faith, not everybody's at the same place. We are where we are. And that's why it says, as you receive Christ, walk in the knowledge and revelation that you have, but always be open to God revealing more of Himself, revealing more of His will to you for your lives. And continue, you see, continue to live your lives in Him. Don't get moved off course. Yes, there's opposition. Yes, there are people that aren't real excited that we got saved. And might even be family members that think that, you know, we jumped off the board and there's no water in the pool or something. And maybe we banged our heads a little too hard. I don't know. But not everybody is going to be quick to embrace the fact that you have Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's another thing, that you've received Him as Lord. You see, that's a step above. We believe Him that He saved us. But to receive Him as Lord means that it's kind of an unspoken understanding that now we have the Word of God that is our rule book for life, basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E. So all of you kids just learned something new before Sunday school today. B-I-B-L-E, you can write home and tell Mom and Dad what you learned in church today. I know what Bible means now. This is very important that we continue to live our lives in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. After the big pines were taken down last winter, we planted little baby spruce trees in the field, and they're buried under the snow. And it took all summer for those little baby trees to get a root system to hold them so that when the wind blows across that field, those little baby trees aren't uprooted. And it's important for us as believers, even if you're a new believer or maybe a person who got saved a long time ago and never maybe really had an opportunity to grow in your faith much, still grasping some truths from the Scriptures. But to be rooted in Christ is so important, because if your roots go deep in Him, when storms of life come and the winds blow and they beat on your house, you are the house, you're not going to be uprooted. You're not going to be blown away by the things that come at us in life, because everybody has storms in their lives. Everybody does. No one is exempt unless they've checked out. You know, but those of us that are here, we still encounter opportunities every day to weather some issues going on in our lives. And strengthened in the faith. To be strengthened by your faith means we need to do what the Scriptures tell us to do. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. Hearing isn't just necessarily with our physical ears, although that's a gateway, but hearing by the Spirit. He speaks to us by His Spirit to our spirit. That's the new you inside the earth suit. Spirit to spirit. Learn to have an ear to hear, and as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. There is never too much to be thankful for. Thanksgiving is expressed from Genesis to Revelation. And God is really, really attentive to hearing those words. And see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. I don't really have to expound on that a lot, because the great gurus of our generation have nothing to do with Christ, and they do not profess Christ, but they profess that there are so many ways to God. You don't need Jesus. There are so many other ways that you can get to heaven, and I can't think of a man-made elevator that would take me that far. I don't care how smart they are. And I had an encounter at the Frankfurt, Germany airport one time about this spiritual guru telling all of his... He was teaching English in the University of Prague, and Carl Erickson and I had come back from a month of ministering the gospel, and we traveled over 2,000 miles in 1 month from town to town and city to city, handing out tracts, doing gospel meetings, praying for the sick. And we came back to the airport, and this guy with all of his students was sitting on the floor of the airport telling him how great I are. And that really bugged Carl and I, because I don't know, you've probably never noticed how feisty we seem when we come back from a trip overseas. And I just asked if I could ask a question, and I just said, you seem to be a very wise man, a very smart man. And that really got his attention because he liked that. And I said, maybe in all of your college, maybe you could help me with this. I said, I've never been able to understand how one drop of Jesus' blood was enough to forgive every sin of every person in the whole world that's ever lived or ever will. And then Carl and I just kind of walked away and wanted to see what the reaction was. And it was astounding because his face just began to, it had this appearance of just collapsing, of any void of expression whatsoever. And all of it just drained him. And he was so, before all of his students, he had no answer to give them. He was void of an answer. And so you have something that you need to treasure that is more valuable and more precious than any philosophy, than any science, than any religion. You have a personal relationship with a living, resurrected Jesus Christ, and that goes beyond anything of the natural understanding of man and his vain philosophies and foolishness. In fact, I believe that Paul made the comment in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And there reaches a point in man's understanding and in the humanity of man and his intellect and his reasoning, there's no such thing as salvation, that we have evolved to this level of high intellectualism, and so we save ourselves. And that is so contrary to the word, is so contrary to this verse of scripture. Don't let anyone take you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends, you see, on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. So that's the admonishment in the end, is that whatever level of understanding you have, wherever you've grown spiritually, stand in it, walk in it, and there's always more to come. And if there's things you don't understand, put it on the shelf. Eventually the Holy Spirit will give you an understanding of those truths. But don't give in to worldly humanitarian pressures and intellectualism and philosophy, because Jesus died for every great philosopher too. So that's a word of encouragement to you this morning. Take a few minutes and greet each other. We're going to have a lot more praise and worship music in the next part of the service. So take a few minutes, greet each other, greet our visitors this morning if you haven't already. It's my joy every year at this time to bring you the Charlie Brown Christmas story, because no television, cartoon, or story, or movie has ever really captured it quite like good old Charlie Brown. Because I love the scriptures boldly proclaimed all over the world in this one simple little message. I never strive at Christmas time to outdo somebody else's Christmas message. I never struggle to find another way around it to make it all fit and dress it up fresh for a new year. Because, you know, every day you can pick your Bibles up and you can read the same wonderful story. And the fact of the matter is, it isn't just a story. It's an account. It's a journaling of an amazing event that transformed all of God's creation forever. That's how valuable it is. So if you would please go with me to the Gospel of Luke. And it's quite a possibility that if you were to come Tuesday night, it's quite possible you might hear these verses again. But that's okay. There's others that go with them. Starting in verse 8, and we'll read down through verse 14. Chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And there were signs. There were signs too. Yes, they all pointed to the cross. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And that word all is very important. All people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord. The city of David, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angel out of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and goodwill toward men. There are so many things that one could talk about in this little portion of Scripture. And because I like to pick out key small words, it tends to, maybe I see things, or well, I'll present this from a different perspective perhaps. First off, God's plan of salvation is for all people. Now that doesn't necessarily mean that all people are going to accept his plan of salvation. But the fact of the matter is God is a good God. He's always been good, and he'll be good all the time.
That's right.
And his plan of salvation to save man has always been a good plan from the beginning, because he loves us. And even the person who in our eyes has been the most ungodly person, let us not be the judge of that. But the fact of the matter was that God still loved that person so much that he had a plan of salvation to save that person. And so that message at that time was received with great joy, because they didn't have the New Testament yet. This was still a part of the Old Testament. And when Jesus came, he was the Messiah that was promised from the Old Testament prophets that foretold his coming. And some more than others had a revelation that he was the one. And that was the great news, that man would no longer have to live separated from God because of the sin nature passed down from Adam. That God really did have a wonderful plan for their lives. But I want to come down to what the angel said in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Goodwill toward men. The goodwill is talking about the will of the Father. It's a goodwill. It's a good plan. And I just really want to bring out a few things about this message that maybe it's not changing it or anything, but it might bring a different perspective to you, because there's so many points of a biblical truth that you can see it from different perspectives. That's why I like the four Gospels, because you get a different perspective from four writers all talking about the same event. So we have to realize that God's plan is a good plan, because God is a good God. His good will has been extended. It's been given to men, peoples, nations. His good plan has been extended to everyone. It's an open invitation. Romans 12:2, I'm going to show you four verses that pertain to this, because it's all connected. You know, in Bible study sometimes we'll have a theme, and then all of a sudden there's different scriptures that all come together to help embrace that, to help support that, so that we don't make the error of taking something out of context. I always like to bring you other supporting scriptures that the Spirit of God in you can bear witness with your spirit that these all connect in. So we need to establish Romans 12:2, because it's so right out there in the open. Some scriptures really aren't quite that clear, but some very much are. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world." Now remember, we're about not letting our faith be contaminated and knocked off course by vain philosophies of men. This says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Some of us have more than one mind, I think, sometimes, but anyway, that's why we can change them so often. We can have a mind today and a new one for tomorrow, if you like. "By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This scripture is so supportive of the message that the angels brought, that God's will toward man, and he said goodwill. That was in the angels' words themselves, goodwill toward man, and that God's will is good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. And of course we know that some of us, like me, avoided it for almost 35 years and poo-pooed it and chose not to have anything to do with it for all those years. But yet, when I had a revelation of who Jesus really is, it changed everything in my life. I couldn't wait to get saved. I didn't know how, but I wanted to. And it was good news to me. It was good news to you, or you wouldn't be here today either, because we have this one common truth that we gather around, the fact that God has a good plan and a good will for our lives. And while we're in Romans, back up to chapter 8, please. It's going to be reasonably brief today for me, I think. We'll see. Romans 8:32. We talked a little bit, actually we talked a lot about this at a Bible study a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night, and Barb made reference to this again last Sunday morning, and it's important, because if you understand how God's will and his plan for our lives is so great, then with a scripture like this, everything else that he has for us all fits into place. And you cannot leave from here having no understanding about how good he really is, and the truth about how much he loves you, and the quality of life that he has made available to each of us. Romans 8:32. "He that spared not his own son, delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" All the things that God has in his kingdom. If God was willing to give his own son, how much more is he willing to make everything in his kingdom freely available to every person who chooses to accept or who chooses to receive that? Because in Jesus' little short parable of the pearl of great price, God was the rich merchant man who had and does have everything, but he was willing to give it all for that one pearl of great price. And your life is that pearl of great price. Luke chapter 12:32. Back to the where we started. It's just something really neat to think about, because there's so many things as believers to think about, to meditate on from his word. But this is really, really awesome. Luke 12:32 says, "Fear not, little flock." Oh, wow. If we would just get a revelation of that, those four words, "Fear not, little flock." But he didn't stop there. He said, "For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now think of that in light of the angel's message. Does that not stir some kind of a gladness in your spirit when you hear these words, you see them, and you get to read them and know that they came from the heart of Abba Father, our dear Daddy God? That he's not the God of El Cheapo. He's El Shaddai, the God of more than enough, the all-sufficient one, the Lord our provider, Jehovah Jireh, all of the names of God, and how wonderfully he has made every provision for all of us. That's the joy, and that's the peace that gets established when we, like those who heard the angel's message that morning, all that those words encompassed. And I'm sure that because no one had a Bible, or very few people had Bibles then, very few knew all of the promises that God had. But this was really good news, and it's good news today. It always is good news. You won't ever come here and hear any bad news. We don't need to put a sign out there, "The Church of Bad News, stop in and get bummed." Now, that's not going to be a church sign you're ever going to see here. Might make a few heads turn on the way down the highway, but no. When we come together in the name of Christ, it's good news that we share together. Words of hope, words of encouragement, words to build each other up in our faith, words that we can treasure and take to heart, and we have something to go home with that's going to work this afternoon. It'll last you until all eternity, because the word becomes a part of who you are as a believer. And I have one more. I said there would be four. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 4. And before I read this, I just want to give you something to think about. It won't take you long, because you'll all know. This is for your own personal ponderance. That's a good word. Yes. Think of the person that drives you up the wall the most, that gives you the hardest time, that you really don't find any joy in being around that person, and they're not saved, and they just really get under your skin. Is there at least one in the house that knows somebody like that?
I do.
Well, cheer up. I have some really good news for you. And as long as they're breathing, there's hope. Verse 4, "Who will have all men to be saved, come unto the knowledge of the truth." This is the goodwill toward man, that the angels brought that message, that it comes all the way back. We've come full circle about it is absolutely God's will that all men be saved. Sadly, we know if you read the Bible all the way to the end, there are going to be those who choose not to be. And it's their choice. We all choose our own destiny. But I say this day, choose life. Choose blessings. Choose favor. Choose Christ. Because it's God's will from the beginning that all men be saved. Even the ones that we think have done the most horrible things and are so unworthy of salvation. But God doesn't look at it that way. He said, we were all in the same boat, and it was sinking. But he threw us a lifeline. And I'm so happy that we grabbed on, because we probably, a lot of us, wouldn't know each other. Look at the new family. Worldwide, we have a wonderful family. all over this world, wherever you go, you'll find brothers and sisters meeting, some under the most harsh conditions. But yet, God wills to save them, even in the most hardest to reach countries, China, Russia, Pakistan. I get a lot of emails from a precious church in Pakistan. Please pray for us. We've been bombed again. Brother so-and-so has lost his life. He was our pastor. And you know, the churches all over the world that are coming under persecution, and it's all because of this truth, that it's still God's will even to save those who commit acts of atrocities against the body of Christ, against God's people. But yet, nevertheless, in spite of all of that, Jesus Christ still died for them. And when in your prayers, we need to be thinking about the persecuted church. Think of all the places where, if you're even found out that you're a Christian, it brings great persecution. The couple in India that I told you about just this year, this trip that I just came back from, where the Hindu village leader met us right where the dirt road came into their village, and he said, "Who are you coming to see?" And they said, "You cannot bring a Bible into that house. You cannot bring that guitar into that house. You cannot do anything in that house except to pray for these people." They were the only two believers in a Hindu village. And so we abided by the rules for their sake. For their sake. So we went in and prayed for them, that they would be strengthened, that God would increase them in revelation, knowledge, and understanding and wisdom. We prayed for their protection. They have two young children. He's 40, she's 30. And they wanted to get water baptized. And that really brings the wrath of hell upon believers in some foreign countries when they get baptized, because that way they know they're publicly standing and that they believe not in Jesus of the historical man, but Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And water baptism indicates that they're embracing his resurrection also. And so a few days later, we met them at a dam where we do baptisms, unless the water is so low there's just nothing there, and then we got to animal water holes. But we had the joy of baptizing that young man and his wife. And I got word just this week that he got sick in this village, and 4 days later he died, leaving behind his 30-year-old wife and his two young children. Because there's no doctors, there's no clinics, there's no Renewed Life Philippine missions, there's no medicines, and hospitals and doctors are hours and hours away. Even if you have a vehicle to get there, you'd be shaken half to death before you got there. The roads are so horrible. And so the church is gathered around for their support, because they don't get any from the Hindu community. In fact, the Hindu community is rather rejoicing. But this man has gone home to be with the Lord. But I had the great joy of going to their house and doing their baptisms this year, and that really strengthened them tremendously. In fact, I read you a letter of their testimony here at the church on one of our mission Sundays, of how that experience gave them the strength and the resolve to stand their ground in their faith. Another village was, there were many believers, but they were bribed with pressure that the Hindu government would give them 4 acres of land if they would renounce their faith in Christ. And all of the families did, with the exception of one family. And the wrath and the anger and the trouble that came against that one family, because they would not allow themselves to be bribed with 4 acres of land. And the others went back. They went back to their Hindu beliefs, and just about every curse of a demonic religion came back upon them. Sickness and disease came on them. People lost their jobs. Everything just fell apart. You could take that one village where all those believers renounced their faith in Christ and they went back under the authority of the devil. And the fate of that village, even to this day, is so different because Christ changes lives. He changes atmosphere. He changes your neighborhood. He changes your village where you live. And all comes back to this one message that the angel brought. That's why it was good news. And it still is today. And I don't have a new story to tell you. It will always be this as long as I breathe. And if Charlie Brown can do it, Rick can do it. So stand. Stand and be strong in your faith. And don't let anyone intimidate you and knock you off course. You're believing the one true gospel. And even Paul said, even if an angel comes preaching any other gospel, don't believe it. And he said, he that comes and preaches any other gospel other than the gospel of Christ, Paul said, let that man be cursed. Because whether people like it or not, there really is only one true Jesus, and that's the Jesus of the Bible. And he alone is the foundation of our faith. He alone bore all manner of sickness and disease upon himself that we could have the promise and the provision of healing when we're sick. Deliverance from habits and bondages and things that hold us back. And yes, I'm coming down here because I like to pray down here with you if you have any prayer needs, because it's the same Jesus that was born in that manger that would be the one who would die on that cross for each one of us. 33 and a half years later, he lived a short life in the earth realm, but he changed everything forever. And even in our lives, there are changes that he made that are eternal. If you have any prayer needs this morning, no matter what it is, let's be in agreement with one another and pray.